way it was told to me, it was actually Jessie Schroeder called and she says, hey, we have this project coming in. It's called Elemental. And I said, that's a cool name. She gave a very brief description of it. All the characters are made out of elements. There's a character made out of fire and there's a character made out of water and they fall in love and they can't even touch each other. And I just thought, wow, that's such a great premise for a film and how creative.
This whole project has been about thanking our parents and those people in our lives that have taken risks for you and made sacrifices. I went in wanting to thank our parents and understanding them as people. That was sort of the initial step into this. And right underneath that was my falling in love with someone that wasn't Korean and their reaction to that.
There was many layers. You had the love story between two people that weren't supposed to be together necessarily. You had the immigration story, that immigrant's experience, especially someone that speaks a different language and has different cultures and eats different foods. What were my ancestors' experience when they came to this country?
One of the things that Pete Soane talked a lot about was this notion of how storytelling at the beginning is very unique in this movie, because it starts with the arrival of mom and dad, and it goes all the way through Ember being born and all the way to her becoming a young adult, and much of that through medley and with the help of music. So very challenging.
The juxtaposition of social issues in our modern lives put into this sort of beautiful context where it's separated, but yet still very meaningful. I thought immediately, what a beautiful and brilliant idea for a story.
The game for the film and the opening specifically has just been about tone, trying to find that tone that will support what this whole film is about, but also at the same time begin to grab into the audience in a poetic way and then start to pull them along.
It starts out very quiet. You know, see these characters come through the mist. It's a very tender moment, right? Like she's wrapped in her like chainmail shawl, and we wanted to hear the fire a little bit because you wanted to hear the gentleness between them, the love between them. They were coming to this new world, but they were so connected themselves.
He wanted to start very small, and it was one of these sequences that it was actually, we thought initially, okay, this won't be so hard because we can get through into the bigger set piece section, but he kept pulling us back, like, well, let's detail this little moment, let's detail another little moment.
Mostly it's chasing feelings. Most of the time you're in the room together listening to something and making comments and seeing if it gives you a physical reaction in the arms, you know, if there's any goosebumps happening, is your heart racing, are you sweating anywhere, you know, you're just trying to feel it out.
And then what we realized was Pete was trying to sort of build into Element City, and starting from Fireland in this journey that they were on and arriving, and all of a sudden the sound opening up and the world opening up, and all of a sudden different elements are floating in the sky and planes and boats in the harbor.
We wanted to hear the water, like gently, gently coming towards us. And then going into Element City, all of a sudden you have this big ship with all of these earth people walking on the plank and walking down the plank.
Please keep all limbs and branches inside.
And then you have the water people arriving, and they kind of come up from the ground and walk away in their waterway.
Oh, I believe this is yours.
Oh, thanks.
So you have to give it a depth and a grounding, and you see the waves of all the immigrants that have come in and layers of crowds.
Your names?
Todaribor.
Bashi Sider.
Great. And how do we spell that?
When we finally go through immigration and we learn how to spell the father's name and the doors open up, that's when the music kicks off and we feel the magnitude of Element City.
This film, because it was all fantasy in terms of its look and design, trying to creative and immersive soundscape was something I'd never done before, so it required a lot of trust.
Hey, watch it, Sparky.
each of the elements had to have their own sounds. Fire, we were trying to decide, should we have like a steady burning the whole time? Should we always have the fire people make sound when they move? Ultimately, that became too much on the fire side.
What we learned was as the sounds were being added, there was a tipping point where if we had too much movement sonically, it would take away from the movie. It would take away from the story. It took away from the heart of the film, which is this love story. Oftentimes, it was just like having them just at the right quiet level to where sometimes we wouldn't even hear them, because if we kept them sonically alive too much, then it would be too much.
You're in an imaginary world where there's a culture of fire, a culture of water, a culture of earth, a culture of vapor. Music and instrumentation that I've used points towards various things, but hopefully doesn't land, because landing would be wrong because the made-up world. So yeah, there is a use of a kind of vocal chatter. There's tabla patterns, there's piano motors, there's solo vocal, all kinds of things. And I think the way ultimately we landed on that stuff was simply by trial and error, saying, here's this kind of sound in this kind of scene. Do you buy it? Does it tilt too much towards the earth we know? You know, do we see it as music we'd find in this world? Yes, no. If yes, then why?
Gotta run.
I don't feel like I know anything when I start out, and the more I find ideas that I like, the more I feel like I learn what the music needs to be. So I'm always a passive listener to my own music in a way that will make me understand what it is that I'm trying to do.
Winner, winner, charcoal din.
Visually, the film is so stunning and so colorful and so vibrant, and in a way each shot is like a visual effect. What we figured out was, okay, when do we get out of the way and let the story speak for itself, or when do we come it to the forefront and make sound what it was about?
Nope.
Just give me one for free.
That's not how this works.
Oh, happy birthday.
So we really had like Ember's flare-ups, Ember's big, big movements, you know, because you don't necessarily want to hear a flame whoosh every time she moves her hand. But when she gets angry, of course, you want to hear that whoosh.
Take breath, make connection.
Take breath, make connection.
Take breath, make connection.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry.
It was a great collaboration between the Foley team, their work, and the effects team.
There are a few moments, for example, we learned that Ember has a temper. And so there's some moments where she literally explodes, and the room that she's in bursts into flames. Pete Sohn was like, just make it loud. Really? Are you sure? Is it too emotional? No, do it. And she would get very angry, and, you know, he was the one that pushed us to the limit of that sound.
It really is a collaborative sort of group where you just put a lot of trust in each other. The way Ren and Koya and Thomas all jump in terms of supporting a film is my favorite thing about it. I like exploring together.
I love that scene. You know, she's had this massive explosion. Now the basement's flooded. You get to see her power there. And we got to do the sound of her touching the metal and fusing the metal together.
Wrong with me? me.
The floating picture frame coming by and making the watery sounds for that, and then Wade popping up, and then her just kind of like, what are you doing?
What the?
What a happy family.
A great example of the layers of effects and Foley, and how do we cover each of those sounds?
This sound, City Hall.
The chase sequence was really important for Pete to make sure that every moment was anxious, you know, that she needs to get Wade and she's going to do whatever it takes.
Stop! Oh, my new jacket!
She's going to squeeze through this little passageway and change her body, or she's going to float up with an umbrella and risk her life at every moment to pursue this fellow. That section of the mix was really challenging for us to kind of arrive at a balance between the music and all the effects that we had that were accentuating the danger.
Okay, well, I just came by because I left my passes for the game here last night.
Passes? Like, plural?
The stadium sequence was really one of my personal favorite moments in the film because it had a sense of scale to it, visually and sonically. We are with Ember coming into this place that she's never been, and it's very exciting. And there's this shot where we come down the tunnel. And we enter the stadium, and the music explodes with this thumping bass.
So much of it was about taking Ember, our main character, outside of her world and getting into a place where she's sort of singled out and not really fitting in, but also to take the audience into a new part of the city and then punch them in the face as Ember would have stepping into that stadium for the first time.
And then I guess she's walking by people in the stadiums. You hear the bubbling up, you know, this kind of, you know, steam from the water people that she passes.
Jimmy, what's up?
Sorry.
Wendy.
Sorry. Fire girl coming through.
Break some wind!
Hi, Gail. How you doing?
Look at the score. What do you think?
And then Gail, of course, you know, we had to give weight to Gail. We had to make her feel big and again, using that word grounded, but she's floating in the air, you know, so we had to, like, make her feel this heavy, you know, presence.
Say Cloud Puffs one more time.
Cloud Puffs.
Oh no! What?
Pete was really pushing to get the sound being very exciting. All the players are floating, so there's a sense of motion and whooshing, but we needed to have it sort of grounded in reality somewhat with basketball.
You have the sounds of the ball hitting the backboard, and then just that the whooshing around, the slipping the ball in into the net.
You actually hear shoe squeaks. You know, when you're at an actual Warriors game, you hear the shoe squeaking on the court. And Pete turned to me and goes, am I hearing basketball court shoes? I'm like, yes, is that okay? And he said, I love it. That's really cool. More of that. Oh.
The moment in the film has been built around Ember discovering the city more and obviously discovering who this guy Wade is and how she's beginning to have feelings for him. That idea of something growing within her was something that I felt Thomas really captured. Not only is there a build of excitement with these two, once we get into that idea of sharing cultures with each other, there's sort of a heartbeat that's going on in there.
That was a fun moment because we were just coming off of their first date and we're coming off this nice musical song and arriving at this sort of comfortable place where now they really are kind of like, okay, we're on a little date here and we're really enjoying it ourselves.
Whoa. How'd you do that?
It's the minerals. Check this out.
Awesome!
Ember jumps up and starts hopping across the crystals, and what's beautiful is that she's split, so she's split in color.
Wade is showing what water can do, and Ember is showing what her fire can do, building up to this sort of shared look.
Shelley Roden, our Foley artist, had a great idea, which was to use wine glasses, like, ding! And so she got these wine glasses and struck them, and that created a good starting point for us to then say, okay, this is sort of a musical idea.
It's one of my favorite pieces in the film, and I think it's because he is able to pull us into their internal growth.
And then as they're walking under the wetro, I think is what Pete calls it, and all the water is kind of cascading down, it moves to something more profound, particularly when she kind of puts her fire finger up against the sheet of water as if to say, who am I and what is this?
About you since the day you met.
The boy is smitten.
Mom!
Oh, come on. I'm your mother. I know when something's lighting you up.
I just didn't know she'd be so smoky.
Come this way. Meet the rest of the family.
When Ember goes to visit Wade for the first time, and that is like one of my favorite scenes. There's this beautiful water apartment, and it's gorgeous, but it's terrifying for Ember. She can be put out, right?
Ooh, thought bubble. Maybe after dinner we play the crying game?
Let me guess. You try to cry?
We try not to cry.
My favorite moment is when Wade approaches Ember and starts describing his love for her. And there's a piece of music that happens here where as he starts to really expose his love for Ember, Thomas's music starts to swell, and we fly into Ember's eye, and it's this beautiful moment of music. We are enveloped in this beautiful moment of her vulnerability, and she realizes, wow, I'm actually feeling something. And then we see its single tear, which then falls into the water. And it's one of my favorite moments because there's two sounds. One is a musical sound and the other is a sizzle. And we line them up to be with each other as an emotional moment. And it's a really nice place where sound and music collide. And the line of what is very blurred. And it's one of my favorite moments.
Let's start small.
What's wonderful visually is you see these fingers coming together, and so the sound had to be very delicate because they're scared that they might extinguish each other. And then as their fingers touch, there's a sizzle. And so there's a balance between the sounds of water and the sounds of fire kind of going back and forth there.
You don't want it to sound dangerous. It has to be more of like a positive shock.
Thomas Newman's score was really key to the emotional impact of the film, and there are moments where the music is just carrying the film in a way that without his score it wouldn't work.
There was a rhythm that built. I remember talking about that with him. I remember his process was, it felt like it was linear, like he was just going through the movie, discovering scenes and discovering where the music would just appear for him. Because it's so close to the end of the movie, by the time he got there, he was now able to see a more macro understanding of what he had sort of layered throughout the film. I remember him playing the demo, and it took my breath away because he had this pulse that was building that felt like a miracle that was about to happen. It felt like, oh, this is an impossibility. They talk about it. She's terrified of touching his hand. But then as she begins to think more about it and take that first step to touch, there's this building energy that really opened us up. It was so exciting.
I'm so lucky.
Denise, when we came one day, when Koya and I came, she let us know that, and I didn't know this, but that both of Pete's parents had died while he was making this film. And that really rattled me. It really took me by surprise. And as we started working with him, he would often explain, I never got to finish this film in time before my parents got to see it, but if they'd see it, what I'd want them to feel is, you know, the sense of family or the sense of the connection between these people. So oftentimes he would explain his writing and in terms of his own personal experience. And what was so lovely about that was that we could understand what he was trying to communicate in this beautiful film that he's created.
There was a sense of closure that I thought I was getting during the production, but that was false. I didn't know that until the end of the movie, and how anytime I'm talking about the movie or when someone talks about the movie with me, I feel like that closure is still happening. So when it released, people talked to me mainly about those two aspects. Either someone that they have fallen in love with that went through different trials, or a shared understanding of our parents' sacrifices.
There's just so many layers of this movie that I even saw myself in. My husband is an immigrant, and I loved watching the film with him. You know, he especially got teary because, you know, that was, you know, his experience. You know, he spoke a different language, and his family spoke a different language. And then, you know, us marrying different culture. It's like, oh yeah, no, this is our story as well.
I felt very emotional watching the film. It was very special to experience that. And then to experience it with my family, you know, my parents, and my mother is an immigrant, so she can completely relate. And I am an immigrant as well.
The great thing about working with Pixar is they're incredibly artistic and they're also incredibly successful, so that there's a huge amount of resource at your disposal. It's an opportunity to really explore ideas and to feel like you have resources to do it. And these guys are kind of unstoppable. They're just not going to stop until they like what they have, until things are really working in ways that they think is just performing at its highest level when it comes to story, to character and dialogue, to art direction, and obviously to animation and to music. No one's going to let you get away without giving 100%. And in retrospect, that's just a great thing, because you can, you know, typically I can look back on these experiences and go, wow, they truly are high points of my career. I'm really proud of it. It's fun when you hear the first seven or eight cues and you think, wow, this is fun and interesting, and just a wide range of feeling evoked by the music. It was a lot of fun to do, for sure.
How people are connecting has been the most emotional and surprising thing, where you're just in tears hugging someone, you know, because they miss someone in their life, or they appreciate a love in their life that the film reminded them of. And I couldn't be more proud of what the crew and the team did to get to this place where an audience can connect like that.